remember what we're waiting on here.
The boss to catch up with us?
Which one did this game have? Which bonus was it?
The one where you're running down that 3D balls. Plane and you have to get the balls.
They're just waiting on the camera to catch up now.
There we go.
Wait, I have so many questions. What?
Uh-huh.
No, not the tunnel. No, the blue balls.
The blue balls. I love the blue balls one, I'm not going to lie.
My favorite one.
I think it's really fun.
Phrasing? Phrasing? No. How many times are y'all going to say that you like the blue balls?
I love blue balls. What? They're great.
Okay, so I don't think this is supposed to happen.
Are you sure, Luigi?
Welcome to Need for Speedrunning, your favorite podcast about going fast, and that sentence was about to go to eating ass because of dumb Sonic memes, and I was like, oh shit, let's not finish that sentence.
That's a very different... Apparently, it is now a video game speedrunning and kink BDSM podcast. This is your host, J-Obs.
No, we...
Hello.
It's actually a Brian David Gilbert reference, and it's all about video games.
Is that what it was? I was like, something in my brain connected those words together, and I know it's something I've seen before.
Well, I know anyways, the shirt says eating ass somewhere in it, so.
So hi.
Welcome, everybody. Yeah, hi. If audio sounds any kind of a little bit off from normal, it's because Ruby and I are in the same place.
Yeah! Hey, everyone. It's very bizarre but cool being actually in the same room with you and going, oh, I don't have to worry about delay. I can just poke you right here.
Yeah. So we are in the same place. Sadly, Brad and Luigi are still not. But they are here, so hello.
Welcome.
How's it going?
I'm in a place.
Hi. Hello. Doing great. Not jealous at all.
We will reunite again one day.
You guys are in the same spot for a reason. For reasons.
Mm-hmm. For reasons. It's because Flame Fatales is happening right now as we're recording this.
Yay.
And Ruby actually just got done with her run at Flame Fatales doing Titan Souls. And I'm not even gonna ask how'd it go, because here's what happened. Ruby showed up, went, and then said, could I have a glass for some scotch? And then we came to set up the recording for the podcast. So, Ruby, care to explain?
Yeah, you know?
Like every episode starts.
Yeah. Same as every start.
Yeah, how am I doing? That's a great question. Let me take a little bit bigger sip. So, everyone, let me regale upon you the tale that was my Titan Souls run. So there was an incentive for me to get dressed up in formal wear. And they said, I basically got notified, hey, we're not going to wait for that incentive to get met. If we don't meet it, we don't meet it. How much time do you need to change? Because we would love to make that time gap narrower if we can. Mm-hmm. And since I already had the makeup done, I was like, you know what? I can do it in like 3 minutes. And sure enough, 3 minutes before the run is set to start, it gets met, and everyone in the control room just sees me book it down the hallway at the speed of light to quickly throw off my clothes, change into the gown, get back, and work with the crew on how we were going to show the dress. I wore this like red velvet dress. It's one I've had for a while. It's a lot of fun. But then there is an issue with Titan Souls. I love the game. Don't get me wrong. It's amazing. Y'all should play it. But how do I put this? If you leave it still for too long, so like you leave it on the title screen for too long, or you just don't move around a lot in the game, or if you Alt-Tab out and close it, sometimes it will cause your controls to glitch. So what happened was we had done the tech check and everything else, and I had warned people about this, but then I needed to go do all this other stuff. So Titan Souls hadn't been touched for a bit. I go to start the run, and one thing you really need to know about Titan Souls speedrunning is The biggest mechanic is switching very rapidly between the analog stick and D-pad for certain arrow shots and movements so that you can land in exactly the right positions that you need to. So like 70% of the speedrun is reliant on D-pad working. And the moment I started, the D-pad was not working. And we stopped for a minute. And I was like, oh, it's glitched. So we quickly went to the title screen and went back in. Here's the problem. I quickly closed the game, went back in, and it seemed fine for a minute. So I went, all right, cool, we'll go in. So I restarted the run. But if you don't fully shut down the computer and turn it back on again and then reboot the game, which would have caused us to have to completely redo the tech setup, sometimes the glitch will continue to pervade. So,
oh no.
2 minutes into the run, the first boss, you only use analog stick because it's all RNG based, so that's fine.
Okay.
But the moment I tried to use the D-pad for like the second boss, it was not working. And usually, y'all know me, I like for my commentary and my presentation to be on point, to be entertaining, informative. And I 404'd. I don't know what happened during that run. I just remember over and over being like, and this is where I would do a D-pad shot, and just panicking about how many bosses I was going to fuck up.
Yeah.
So we were underestimate, which is great, but basically...
No, like, that's like... Congrats. Yeah.
Yeah. A minute underestimate, too. Like, you know, well under. It's not like came right down to the second wire kind of thing, but...
And you invented a new category, D-pad glitch run.
Yeah, suddenly it was just a challenge run that I didn't expect. And the thing that really sucks about it is there is a harder version of the strat for one of the bosses that actually in the last few days I've been practicing like crazy because I finally figured out how to do it. And I was going to do it for the first time in this, but guess what? It's D-pad dependent.
Yeah. Can't do it.
So basically I went back to the old version of the strat and everything I was doing was analog stick estimations, hoping that I was on the right angle. So I had a lot more deads than I usually do because I was trying to hit these very exact angles, hoping that my thumb was steady enough. So that was the most terrifying speedrun I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, it sounds harrowing.
Yeah, hence the bourbon.
Yes. The whiskey will help.
I will say, so I had to miss the very beginning, so I didn't know that there was, like, anything going on until you brought it up, which was very quickly.
I wonder why.
Yeah, but I was watching for about, like, the 10-minute mark or so, so I saw more than, like, half, the back half of the run.
Yeah, I think it ended up being, like, 23 and a half or something 23, like
24,
that.
Yeah, something like that. And I thought it was still great. Like, it was... I've always said that in games like that, you kind of want a little bit of games that are difficult but don't look difficult. You need a little bit of like deaths or slip ups here and there or something to help show the audience like why it's so impressive. Mm-hmm. And so when I was watching, you just had like one spot where you were like, let me see if the D-pad's working again. And that's how I knew something was off. And you're like, nope. And then you died. And then afterwards, it was like gave me context for every boss you did from there on out. And I thought it was great. Like, there was some really cool arrow shots. I remember there was one that you, like, you died to the boss once, and then you shot an arrow to the right on the second attempt, and then it comes back and, like, hits him from behind.
Oh, that's Mace's. Yeah, that's a really difficult fight, too. Yeah. The way it's normally supposed to function, so it's basically this big block. It has a tiny little window in its back that's its weak spot, and it has two huge morning stars attached to its body that it will hit you with over and over. You have to make a shot exactly to the right, hence why the D-pad is important, then quickly roll up left, another D-pad roll, what a concept, and get to a very specific part of the wall very quickly so that the boss doesn't move and shift to try and attack you, and then pull the arrow towards you to hit it at exactly the right time. So I was trying to do that just with the analog stick.
Yeah, well, and you got it right on the second try. Like, the first one, it seemed like it just had there was something with that first roll or something, but... and it was cool, too, because there was a moment there where you were like, oh, there would also be this death abuse here that would cut part of this cutscene out. And I can't really, I didn't really want to go for it because I died in the one, but we'll have it in like some of these other fights. And so then it was a good setup again for those fights that came up. I was like, oh, I now have full context for like just how long of an animation you just skipped by taking a death abuse after victory. Like,
yeah,
it's funny too, because you've made parallels to how the game is similar to Dark Souls before. And that is like a strat they use all the time in Dark Souls is like,
oh, really?
Using, they don't die so much as use the dark sign generally. So it's like, they'll like warp out, but it's the same kind of concept where like as soon as the reward for the boss like is confirmed, more or less, that's when you're warping out, and
so you can get back to that previous checkpoint.
Yeah, exactly. And start moving to the next thing. But yeah, there were some really cool like arrow shots. I remember there was one that you like popped off on because you like shot to the top left and it like came back and hit this enemy later, and the Yeti was great. Your explanation on that. The only thing I was like sitting there waiting for like, is Ruby gonna say like, so we're gonna defeat the Yeti. You know how you defeat the Yeti? You go to the yeti.com/frame-fatales, you know, like, and you buy a shirt, and proceeds go to Malalfa. If with your help, we can make all of Yeti's proceeds go to Malalfa or something like that.
You know, I didn't think of something that clever, and if I wasn't panicking the entire time, I may have thought of something that clever, but it was all panic.
It was still really funny. I thought you did a great job coping. Tech issues are the hardest thing to like bounce back from as like a runner or a streamer in general. I've found like I've had runs completely die because there was some like I dropped some frames somewhere, or like my whole stream went down and I was like, you're in a sour mood for the entire rest of the run. So I thought you did a great job. I thought it was still really fun to watch. So
thank you. Good to hear from an audience perspective, because I just saw White at a certain point. So I need to go back and watch it, because I don't know what the fuck actually happened.
Was I even at Flame Fatales at all? Was I ever even there?
Flame Fatales hasn't happened for 30 years. Brad, Luigi, how's it been in the world of gaming for each of you as well since our last encounter?
Since our last encounter, I have experienced a long birthday trip. So that involved many car rides, and Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope was my companion. Nice. I am not the person that hiked 4 miles into a campsite with my Switch, but I did think about it. I did not do that.
Got a portable battery.
Yeah, I love the first Mario & Rabbids game. I am probably 15 hours into this one, and I am really liking it, but I am not liking it as much as the first one thus far.
There's more stuff.
I like more of the grid and the fact that it's like a little more loosey-goosey, but it is still movement-based, and that's great. I want to play a lot of it on the big screen, though, too, because of the soundtrack. And, and I want to, you play games on the handheld. It's just so different. The first time I started playing Hollow Knight was in handheld mode, and I did not have high opinions of it. And then eventually I played it, big, beautiful screen and that music, and that was great.
Also still maintain that is a game that gets better like on repeat playthroughs and just like after you get kind of further into it. I think it's a little rough at the start, personally, but
yeah, I absolutely love Hollow Knight. And this last weekend there was a bachelor party at the Renaissance Fair, so I have sadly not had a ton of time to do gaming, which is one of my big passions, but I am still chipping away at Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I'm 75 hours in, and I am ready to be done. I am over it.
Spending a bachelor party at the Renaissance Fair sounds like a great way to spend your time if you're not gaming. Mm-hmm. I just got to throw that out there.
Lots of mutton.
King David had a great time. And, I don't remember getting home, but I remember going out afterwards, so.
Nice.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been up to.
So what you're saying is you probably performed a speed run in front of a bunch of people then.
From
the sounds of how Ruby's run went, you had similar experiences.
Yeah, there's going to be footage I'll find someday of me playing Mario Brothers in front of a bunch of people.
Amazing. I want that.
Yeah,
getting the new record.
Yeah, there are many videos out there of me I'm not familiar with. Luigi, how have you been?
I have those videos probably too. Hi.
you might.
So I've been moving and then not moving, but still unpacking, but not moving at least, and always playing Zelda. That game's really good, and I don't think I need to tell anyone else that. You know,
we've probably
how far are you about
that for episodes and episodes?
I should be doing the fourth area instead of playing Rygar, but I'm playing Rygar. But we're finally gonna have all four of the like main phenomena dungeons done, and that is the Goron region. So I'm excited to get there and finally like have hot armor, so I can go into hot places because I haven't been allowed to go to Goron area.
Oh, the Varia suit.
Basically, yeah.
You gotta go get the Varia suit.
Oh, like hot weather armor. I was thinking the Gerudo like outfit, like so. Some yeah, hot armor.
I did think at first that he meant hot armor. Like attractive.
That was where my mind went too. Yeah,
but just the way you said it, just some hot armor.
I have the hat armor already, but there's some places in the depths that are just too hot to go to, and I want to go back and look at them. But other than that, aside from like a new roommate and I were talking about Animal Crossing, and then the next day I was playing Animal Crossing, and now like three people in this house are playing Animal Crossing. So that's a thing. But also, I succumbed to Pikmin. Yesterday was my birthday, and I was like, I should be playing Pikmin 4. I played the demo. It was amazing. I like Pikmin 4. It's like a better Pikmin 2, I guess. I'm still not like fully past. I haven't seen any of the nighttime stuff yet, but I have like three areas unlocked and have been messing around in there and doing Dandori battles. But
that's a perfect segue, because I was going to say, I was going to like tell you that we're doing Pikmin for the first step very soon.
Ooh.
And so that's fun. Which one?
Pikmin 1. I've never played it. Mm-hmm. Keys has never played. Like we neither of us played a Pikmin game ever. I've barely even played. I know it's like kind of baby's first RTS kind of thing. Is like,
yeah.
That's how someone pitched it to me.
It's their spin on RTS games, even though I'm pretty sure they would not have any idea what an RTS game was right. when they were making it. They just made something that looks like one without knowing.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it was like pitched to me. And I don't even have that like much experience with that entire genre. I played like a little bit of StarCraft 2 back in the day, and that's about it. So I'm excited. I think it'll be fun to jump into. Looking forward to that one. Going to be starting that pretty soon. And I was also just going like, Luigi's going to be very happy that we're doing Pikmin.
Yeah, I need to pencil that one in.
Yeah, I think that'll be after this episode comes out. That might be the next TFS episode.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't know anything about like the skips or the glitches or
neither will we.
Especially any of the. I mean, like I guess there's one I know about where you can like. There's a spot where you need to get like the blue Pikmin who can't drown across to a thing, but you could do it early enough if you bring the red Pikmin within an inch of their life, like twice to get across this little creek. And there's a way to do it, but I don't know how to like do it successfully.
Okay.
But other than that,
I'll bank that one in as a one up on keys. I'll try to make that happen.
Yeah, we'll just see how many days, how many parts you get, and how many because I don't know how.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna end up beating it in the time, but we'll see. Other than that, for myself, I've just been playing like multi-world, like cross game multi-world stuff with Archipelago that I talked about before. It's super fun.
I want to hook Pikmin up to that.
Somebody could probably hook it up. Something I did find out. This is really cool. I found out that you can theoretically hook up any game to it by doing it like through this manual setup. And it kind of reminds me of like just challenges people would make before mods and stuff, or like, you know, without mods, kind of like a Nuzlocke or whatever, where it's just honor system. So you can do it where you basically just set up like, okay, people are going to send me these like fake items, then I'm going to not let myself go to this place until I get that item. Right. Like, so
that's
for
cool.
Celeste, somebody was like, I'm going to play on a completed file, but my goal like is whenever I beat a chapter, it counts as a check for somebody else. And if, and I'm not allowed to like go to, let's say, okay, chapter 1A until somebody gets me a fake cassette 1A, cassette tape, okay, 1A or something. And you can't go,
yeah,
to the B side until you get that. You can't go to the C side until you get like, you know, cassette 1C. And you just do it by honor system, and it'll like, it'll still mix it in with all the other games and the other players. So you can still like actually go be like, okay, I just beat City. I just beat chapter one, A side. I'm going to tell the system that I've done that now. And it'll be like, okay, cool. You just found this for Metroid Prime Rando. Like, you just found this for this other person.
That's kind of really cool.
Yeah. So I found out about that, and I was like, that's pretty neat. That seems, if nothing else, like a really great way to experiment with like, hey, I wonder if this game would be fun in a randomizer, or like, if I wonder if this game would be fun in a multi-world setting. I'd be like, well, let's just make shit up and do it, and just do it on like, I think it works best either for games where you can debug yourself the items, or it works like on a game that you can just have a completed file and go back like through the stuff. So like, I'm tempted to try it out with Crash Bandicoot 3, for example, because I'll just have all of the levels open to me on a completed file, and just like, I can only go into them when I've gotten certain things. I'm looking forward to trying that. I think that'll be really fun.
Okay.
And then we did Metroid Prime for TFS recently. Finally.
Yeah. How'd that go?
It was good. It had kind of been a bit since we had done a Metroidvania, and especially an older like Metroid game. So I kind of forgot how, when you're playing casually, things can feel kind of linear, or feel like, oh yeah, you know, I'm just meandering and I'm just running into the next thing. It should be fine. And then when you're trying to go fast, you're like, where the fuck was the goddamn gravity suit? When I know what the room looks like in my head and I have no idea how to get to it. Like, that's always been my problem.
It's really hard to make those maps in your head really quickly. Exactly. I think that's part of the challenge of Metroidvanias, is trying to make sure that those individual places actually connect.
Well, and it's why it's so important for games like that to have interesting maps, and to have like the map is your character. The environment is your character. People have said that before about Hollow Knight and about Ori. And I think that is extremely true, because the map has to be more memorable than like anything else, basically, if it's really good. And I don't think Prime is quite landing that for me on a room to room basis. Like, I didn't always remember all the connections and stuff. But I do see why people enjoy it. I was still having fun with it. And I just, it's so hard to take notes on your first go through, because you're like, I don't know what, if I'm going the right way yet. And then by the time you find a thing, I'm just like, how the fuck did I get here? I don't know if I can make... So my notes usually end up just looking like, I did it in this order. Like, I just, mm-hmm, I got these things in this order. I hope I can find them.
Mm-hmm. And then you try and go backwards, and it's one of those, like, one-way doors. And you're like, ah!
Yep, exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah. That happened to me a lot in some of the games. Like, it's in Super Metroid, I think that happened to me.
What were you playing Prime on?
The remaster. Yeah, okay. not quite having to deal with the garbage tank controls of the game, the GameCube. Although I did accidentally set my game to that at the beginning, so I got a feel for them. I understood what it was that people used to have to play with.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone even could play those back in the day. Yeah, Metroid Prime, though, that the map doesn't quite stick the landing, but for a 3D Metroidvania, it's still good. Like, it was groundbreaking. No,
I totally understood. It was kind of similar for... I didn't quite get the same high of while playing it that I got out of like Super Metroid the first time I played it, because I didn't play that until a few years ago. And I played that game and I was just like, okay, I get it. Like, I understand now why everybody holds this game in high regard, right? Like, I totally get this. And Metroid Prime, I was like, yeah, like, I understand why people like this one, but it's not the same, like, oh, I get it now, right? Like, it was just like, I loved the 3D in-game map. I thought that was super cool. Like, that was really awesome. And it did help in a lot of, like, situations, too. But there were enough things where, since I was playing a remastered version, I was like, you could have made this change. You could have made this change. Like, you could have polished up these things that are, like, real simple adds. Like, why does the minimap disappear when you're in the ball? Like, when you're in Morph Ball. Why can't you turn the camera and Morph Ball? It's stuff like that.
You don't need two balls on screen.
So it's just stuff like that where I was like, you remastered the game, just do these things. Like, if you were making zero changes to the game, I understand, but you're already making changes. You put in dual stick, you know, like movement and camera support. You put in some other things. So, like, do that. Do this, please, because it's just bothering me that I can't roll around as in the ball to move more quickly and not be able to see where the hell I'm going with the minimap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would just want to play as the Morph Ball that exactly. entire game, like challenge maps, puzzles. Like, those little puzzles in the Morph Ball were my favorite part of that game.
Yeah, they were fun. I liked that they clearly knew about, like, you know, being able to jump and use a bomb and, like, you know, double bomb your way up. Yeah,
that's
like,
still in there. That. I use that a lot. You know, and then you get the dash and stuff with the ball. I think, like, as far as it, like, clicking as well, I mean, I think a certain amount of this game, which Super Metroid can't say, is that a lot of people's opinions of it are colored by their love for Super Metroid and speedrunning Super Metroid. So,
sure.
Like I
said, I don't want to make it sound like I did not have fun with the game or that I thought the game was bad. I came away going like, yeah, it's fun. Like, this is good. I still want to, I plan to go finish it. Like, I did not get a chance to finish it yet, but I plan to, cause I was definitely having fun.
Well, until you get to the space pirate area.
That's actually, I think we just got, like gravity suit and was just getting to, I think, the space pirate area. Yeah.
Mm.
So maybe my opinion will change, but we'll see. But no, I thought it was fun, and I definitely saw how it could work well as a randomizer. So I am excited to like maybe check out some Metroid Prime randomizers in the future. I think that'd be fun. Well, let's get into kind of our meaty topic here, I think, right?
Yeah.
Our main course, shall we say.
What is it?
what is it?
So I'm the only one who knows right now because we did a poll on Patreon. We did a poll between two Sonic games that are jank for different reasons. Sonic 06 is jank because the entire game is jank and everyone knows it. And Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
In all aspects.
So and it went up against Sonic 3 and Knuckles, which is just an extremely glitchy run, if I remember correctly. So we thought that'd be fun. Do we want to see the 2D glitchiness or the 3D glitchiness? And I think all of us went in going, like, Sonic 06 is probably going to, like, win this by a landslide. And we were all wrong. It was 75% for Sonic 3 and Knuckles. So.
Okay, heck yeah.
Our patrons love us.
Yeah. So we are watching Sonic 3 and Knuckles today. I went and pulled up. So I've seen some of every like classic 2D Sonic run. I think I've potentially even commentated Sonic 3 and Knuckles before. I don't really remember.
Probably.
Yeah. I think we had it on Speedrunning Underground at one point. But yeah. I went through the leaderboard and grabbed the world record run for Sonic. Which is also, I think it's Sonic and Tails, technically. I'm trying to double check. But, yeah, it's Sonic and Tails. But that is the kind of the default category on speedrun.com. Any percent glitched, this run is just under 30 minutes. It's 29 minutes and 50 seconds by Eandis, I think is how that's pronounced. Eandis or something like that.
We definitely need some screen wraps in here.
A Russian speedrunner. That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got Russian here. I'm familiar with JoeyBaby69, who is the second place runner. And in general, just like, this is going to be a fun one, I think. Only 7 seconds separates the top two times, and then they're like a minute and a half faster than the next fastest person. Mm-hmm. So you can tell this is like some people really at the top of their game.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is...
Which this is a very competitive game.
Yes. Yeah, I imagine. Like, I mean, the number of runs on it is not all that high. It's at, like, 35. But I think that's part of that is because there's so many different, like, categories. And I think IL runs are pretty common for Sonic games as well.
Sonic's got a weird timing thing, too.
Yeah. Especially those classic ones, it's actually, like, hard to spin dash... like efficiently and stuff too, so sometimes that puts people off. And any game this old, sometimes you go through like rule changes and like certain glitches and stuff being found that it's going to end up wiping like half the times off the leaderboard. So who knows if that's happened at some point. But I was curious, what is everybody's like, you know, experience with the classic Sonics? Like, how much have you played or seen or whatever.
Okay, so fun fact. Not this one, but a Sega Sonic game was literally the first video game I ever touched.
Yo.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
For me, it was this one, actually.
But, oh, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah, so, and at the time, my parents considered video games a boy hobby, so I wasn't allowed to play them. But when I was at a friend's house, they were like, hey, do you want to play some Sonic? And I was like, promise you won't tell my mom. and ended up playing it at her place and had a great time. But it was one of the ones that didn't even have Knuckles and Tails involved yet. It was just Sonic that you could play as. So,
yes, probably Sonic 1.
Yeah.
The shout-outs to friends' houses for video games. Like,
right?
When you're a kid. Because my parents were like, they were not so much against video games so much as they just were like, we played outside when we were kids, just go play outside, right? Like they were just like, yeah, you don't need that. So we didn't really get any games in our house for a little while, but we had like a family friend where I remember we were over at their place and they had Sonic 3 and Knuckles. I remember playing as Knuckles in the opening stage for Knuckles, which is actually like the third stage or something for Sonic. I don't remember the name of it right now. I think it might be Angel Island or something.
It's got like bouncy mushrooms and stuff.
Yeah. It's all like, it looks gorgeous too. Like the game still looks great. There's something about like really good sprite work that's just like pixel sprite work that's timeless, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's why so many games nowadays still go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's for me, it was also the first game I ever touched. And then I didn't play it for real for like 2 decades.
I genuinely feel like I haven't played a Sonic game that is any of the 3D ones. I haven't played any since the 2D pixel games. Okay. I did also have Sonic Advance for the Game Boy Advance SP. And that that's what I took with me
Sonic Advance,
everywhere.
Sonic Advance 1 and 2 are both, they both fucking slap.
Yep, agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
They're both great.
Mm-hmm.
I love them both.
I was like, I don't know who this cream is, but I'll beat the game with them.
Yeah. Bradley, how about you?
Brad. So speaking of someone who knows who cream is, probably yeah. A 20-page outline somewhere.
Being the Dynamite?
Yeah.
Yes, me and Luigi played a lot of Sonic 3D Fighters at Games Done Quick.
That's right.
Really? Yeah, we played a lot of it. I love Sonic the Hedgehog. I played the original. I played Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and my brother and I and friends, you know, friends' houses. We were obsessed. And I remember when Sonic 3 and Knuckles came out, I couldn't handle Knuckles' attitude. He was he was so cool. He comes in and he like knocks you down, steals your rings and your emeralds, and I was like, laughs, that's not even fair. This is not fair.
Points and laughs.
Oh, and the way he can fly in, I remember being enamored and then seeing the Sonic and there's the Knuckles cart that you could do like all the crazy attachment stuff on. My wee little brain couldn't handle it. I still don't like any of the bonus levels. I love going fast. Mm-hmm. I love the design. It's such a horrible platformer in spots. Mm-hmm. And it's also the most fun, beautiful, fluid game. If someone's good at this game, it is it's artistic. It's beautiful. Yeah. I played Sonic the Hedgehog 4. I played Sonic Mania. I tried Sonic 06. I think I owned it at some point, which was... I didn't play too far.
Like in a, this is going to be great, this is going to be great sort of way.
Fingers crossed. I had Knuckles Chaotix on the 32X, so I really, I have a lot of the Sonic history. One of my favorite things is my Sonic the Hedgehog 3 bootleg vinyl.
Oh my God.
It's glorious.
Oh God. That is stunning. That's
incredible. Yep, it's done in the Michael Jackson Thriller style, since Michael Jackson did work on the music for Sonic 3.
Allegedly. Mm-hmm.
No, it was actually confirmed on Twitter.
It did finally get confirmed, didn't it? Like just in the last year or so.
Yeah, Yuji Naka was losing his sanity last year and just started saying a bunch of stuff before getting indicted.
I forgot it finally got confirmed because, for the longest time it was like, yeah, he did. But allegedly. Mm-hmm.
That's really
my last
cool
thing I'll say. Once Sonic got longer legs and that like that. Once he grew up into 3D Sonic, I did not care for him as much. Give me my little baby Sonic. He's my baby. Luigi, yourself?
I think, like, even as someone who had all Nintendo systems, I only got a Super Nintendo because, well, there's a Mario over there, so I need to get my Mario. But, like, the Genesis was still cool as shit. So I wanted it, and I definitely played a lot of Sonic. Like, tons of Sonic. We eventually got the Sonic 3 and Knuckles on PC.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They put all of them on PC, I remember.
But, like, yeah, the Knuckles was, I think I won Sonic 3 from, like, a McDonald's, like, giveaway, and I wasn't able to play it because I didn't have a Genesis, but I won.
Wait, was this one of the, like, Monopoly scratch-off kind of McDonald's giveaway games?
It was, like, I forget exactly how. I had to, like, send part of the Happy Meal box in somewhere and, like, got chosen. I was like, cool. I can't do anything with this. But I'd already played it. Like, Knuckles was my favorite thing in the world because he could glide. Yeah, I think that was, like, also
mine. Yeah, because he could glide. That was it for me, too. Mm-hmm. When we booted up the game and, like, he could fucking glide and climb walls. And I was like, this is the pinnacle of entertainment. Like, I remember that.
The new power-ups were cool, but, like, the way I would Knuckles is important for me figuring out that, like, oh, I should be thinking of these, like, way pulled out, because with Knuckles I could fly and climb my way anywhere on the level. And yeah, like, Brad's right, like, these are kind of boring as platformers, but it's all about what line you take and how many times you played the level and can know what you can get away with. And blind faith jumps are sometimes rewarded, and you just have to, like, get in there. But with Knuckles, I was able to climb around all of the levels and go, oh, okay, so this is how this level looks. There's stuff up here. How do I get up there? So,
yeah. It's the weirdest thing about those games, and it's why, like, going back to them for, like, we did it for the first step. We did a classic Sonic relay, basically. Like, we went through all three games, and going back to them, I was like, God, these games are so fun when you're moving fast and they want you to do nothing. Like, they never want you to move fast. Like, the level design is just constantly trying to prevent you from going fast.
And then there's two zones in the first game that you cannot go fast in.
Oh, yeah. Like, the labyrinth, labyrinth near the end, and the marble. Exactly. Marble Hill or something like that, or Marble Maze.
That sounds right.
They're so bad for that, and it's what makes it even, like, more fun when you're watching speedruns of it. It's the same thing I've described in the past about, like, loving to watch Mega Man speedruns, but I hate doing them myself because I can't play those games well at all. But watching somebody just decimate a boss in 3.5 seconds, like, it's fantastic.
Well, I feel like that's a pretty common thing with speedrunners, is having the type of game you know you love playing, you know you love diving into, and then having a genre of speedrunning you love watching and will not touch with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and we talked about that a bunch last episode, too. It's just,
But
I'm actually kind of the inverse of Brad a bit. I grew up more with the 3D ones, and Sonic Adventure 2 Battle, my friend had it. Again, shout outs to friends' houses. My friend had it because I didn't have a GameCube, and I fucking loved that game because I loved the music, and I just loved, like, trying to A-rank everything. And then when Sonic Heroes finally, like, it was on PlayStation 2, so I was like, I can finally get a Sonic game. Oh my God, this is amazing. And I played it, and I was like, oh man, the game's kind of only okay. So, because I just wanted it to be SA2B so badly. I just wanted it to be that game.
Yeah.
I did play a bunch of Advance and Advance 2, though. Those games are really, really fun.
Yeah, honestly, I want to find a copy of Advance so I can play it again after all these years. I did the thing of, like, when I was growing up and I got a new console, I would sell the old console so I could get the new one. But now I'm so sad that I don't have the old ones, and I'm slowly trying to get them back.
I think I literally have it right there. Oh, I think it's right.
Okay,
I think it's right in this closet.
The blue Advanced SP was exactly what I had growing up. That's the one I need to find.
Yeah. I think it's literally, and that is my SP from when I was a kid.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think Sonic Advance is right in that closet. So
yes.
It's funny.
I have a thing with the OG trilogy where they all kind of blend together. Uh-huh. And so I'll go back and play the original Sonic the Hedgehog and his lack of spin dash. Okay. Like there's no spin dash in the first one.
It's not.
And
it's
that
weird.
Is, it just feels wrong, you know?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see this speed run. I've never seen a Sonic 3 and Knuckles run. And I imagine there will be a lot of power-ups that you want to hold on to because those power-ups just vastly change your verb set. And because once I get a hold of that fireball, I could just do that all day and you get to, you know, jump dash a lot of, I don't know. I'm curious to see what's going to happen in this run. Mm-hmm. I've never seen one.
It's been a minute since I've seen a Sonic 3 run and they're all a little different depending on, we were talking about the categories before. There's a lot that changes between them, but
yeah. And then there's Sonic 3 and then Sonic 3 and Knuckles. And it's like, even those are different.
Then that gets even crazier.
Yeah.
I remember the power-ups being important to like, you want to hold on to them a long time, but you also, there's different reasons for different ones.
The bubble lets you just breathe underwater.
So you're not just, relying on one power the whole time.
The flame one is, flame and electric are kind of the two most useful, I believe, for the run, because flame lets you start moving fast very quickly, and it lets you kind of dash over some gaps, whereas the electric gives you the double jump, so like it can let you get to some higher places and that kind of thing. I can remember a couple skips with at least the flame one, the flame shield.
Yeah, I've seen a few Sonic runs. So like last year at SGDQ, I know there were quite a few that I stuck around for. And there are several where I know at least Knuckles with the glide can kind of go outside the map and float forward through the rest of the level. And that happened with like at least two or three Sonic games I saw. So the fact that Knuckles is involved, I'm genuinely curious if that's part of the glitching or like what this looks like, because I've never seen a speed run of this particular Sonic game.
Well, so I don't think he's really going to be involved. It's just the game. There's like basically twice as much game when you do Sonic 3 and Knuckles, because there's like more levels.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Because, it's a whole separate game, yeah.
Okay, I now understand.
Yeah, there is a Knuckles run as well, but it's not what we're going to be watching today, unfortunately.
Because you can stick Sonic 2 or 3 in on top of Sonic and Knuckles.
The Knuckles run is a little different because I'm pretty sure it starts a few levels in. Like, it starts at Angel Island, I think, whereas Sonic starts back at the beginning. So that's why I picked the Sonic one, because I figure that gives more of the full game.
No, that's great. Punish. I haven't played this one, so I just assumed with the title that Knuckles was just in it as a playable character. So that makes sense.
It's just his own character. Yeah, the run is split up by the different categories. So, I will say another little fun piece of trivia about this run that we're about to watch from Eandus. I just saw on there that when they got this record like a year ago, it had been 553 days that the world record at the time Joy Baby 69 had been standing, had been unbeaten.
Wow.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, that's huge. Almost 2 years. That is a long time in the speedrunning world for a record to hold for a game that, you know, so many people cherish and hold in high regard as part of their childhood. So that is incredible, and it's really cool to see that somebody was able to come in and turn things on their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say one other thing about like the first time I'd never seen a Sonic speed run, and when someone was like, "Oh, yeah, it's Sonic 2 or Sonic 3," like, you know, we're doing a speed run of it. I guess I had an idea of what I was in for, just because, you know, Sonic goes fast, such and such, yada yada. It will just be like super efficient, and I was not expecting some of the more wild glitches that happen in these games, and, you know, a lot of just like tricking the game into thinking that it's just going to wrap you around to where the end of the level is from the beginning of the level.
Yeah.
And so it was a mind-blowing run.
Well, that seems like the best preamble I could give it, so why don't we go ahead and get into it, right? Mm-hmm. For those who are new to the podcast, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick little break, and we are going to go watch this run. If you want to hear our thoughts while we're watching it live, then you can become a member of our Patreon, patreon.com/possiblybad, because that is where we upload all of the commentary tracks for these speedruns. But afterwards, we'll come back and talk a little bit about our thoughts. So now is also a great time to go watch the run yourself, and we'll see you all in a few. Hey, Luigi, you just went through a move, and I'm sure you've been unpacking, and before that you were packing and probably like going through all your stuff and just seeing what are the things that are most valuable to you. Well, you know, what are you going to bring with you on the move, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know what's the most valuable thing? Something that doesn't need to take up space in a box or in your house.
That's true.
Doesn't need to go in a truck.
Then I don't have to pack it.
Exactly. Don't have to move it.
Then it just stays in my heart.
Yeah. You know where you could find something like that?
Where can I find something great that stays in my heart?
Patreon.com/possiblybad.
Patreon.com/possiblybad. What is that?
Hey, that's where you can support the show. It is a fantastic service where you can get access to episodes early. You can get access to exclusive content like our bonus commentary tracks. You can vote on episodes like this week's episode.
That's right. I did not know what we were doing before we started recording.
It's true. And you can also become an executive producer of the show and get shout outs for every episode. So thank you so much to our EPs, Cassandra, Hypixion, Ethan King, Brian Ward, Professor Howell, Lisa Slack, Hylian Gamer, 01, and Lassian Luponis. Thank you all so much
for
being EPs of the show and helping to keep this dream alive, keep this thing going.
In our hearts and in our ear holes.
And now we're going to go take all of our Patreon subscribers and pack them away in a box and put the tape on top and make sure to label it so that it says fragile, so that way the movers know to toss it up against the wall and break everything inside. And then we'll unbox it in 2.5 years.
What are movers?
Welcome back, everybody. We just watched the world record run for Sonic 3 and Knuckles Sonic story, I guess. it's just Sonic is the like name of the category or whatever. Any percent fully glitched.
Sonic and Tails run.
Fully glitched is exactly what that run was. It's
yes.
a lot of glitchiness in that one. I'll kick off just with a very brief thought for myself because I'm curious if other people held the same opinion or felt differently. But we've watched glitchy runs in the past and have not always been the most fond of them, like coming out of them because it was just a little too confusing, a little too wild. Mm-hmm. I think this one is one where you just embrace the chaos, and I think it's really fun, even when you have no idea what the fuck's going on. It's one of those glitchy runs that I'm like, I love it. I love every second of it. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is just because the camera's whirring around and you have no idea. Like, it looks like the camera doesn't even know what the hell it's doing.
Yeah, no, it definitely doesn't.
It's
moving in, like, the opposite direction of the...
of, like, where Sonic is. It's like, yeah.
Well, like, even what direction they're holding on the controller. Yeah. The camera's going the other way sometimes.
Yeah, so I personally, I like knowing what it is, and I like being able to potentially, you know, I'd like to see exactly what's going on once or something. But I also just love it for what it is of having no idea what the hell's happening. But how did you all feel about it?
I feel like, so something very interesting, I'll usually revisit speedruns that I really enjoy entertainment value-wise or gameplay-wise. For glitchy runs, that's usually not the case. But this is one that I basically over and over was saying throughout, wait a second, how is this happening? I have some questions. And this is the kind of run that I actually would be really interested in looking up how some of these glitches worked, because it was very fun to watch the first time, just the camera suddenly zooming so long far across the map and looking up how those things work so I have more context for next time. And usually for me, glitch runs don't have that kind of replay value. So, like, this was a special exception. I really enjoyed it.
I like to embrace the chaos for this one. I remember we watched the Donkey Kong Country. Was it 3, maybe?
I think I see 2, I believe.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
That one was just way too far out there. This one, though, there's something about Sonic getting locked in his sideways run pose and just floating across the level. Or Robotnik just, like, spawning in on, like, a mountainside and just getting hit by something you don't see.
Be looking very confused.
I like to watch the game getting played, but this is one I was like, all right, this is one of those runs. And we are going to be rapping. Sonic is rapping this entire run. And,
you know, not vocally.
I was going to say.
Which would make sense for Sonic.
Although that would be very fun if someone rapped over this run. I'm just
I think I would prefer a glitchless run. When I did see the points where there was, like, super precision jumping onto a platform and, like, the dash jumps, all of that I find very cool to watch. And there was some of that in here, and that's a huge part of this as well. I liked also being able to watch them do, like, the rolling on the 3 buttons to get their 6 spins, the max speed real quick. I rather enjoyed it. It's usually not my cup of tea, a heavily glitch run, but Sonic, you can do whatever you want, buddy.
I will say in this instance, I feel like watching just the good platforming and stuff and then watching it glitchless might actually weirdly get a little old in a game like this, like, pretty quickly, just because some of the levels have, like, different hazards and stuff like that, but when you're flying by so quickly, a lot of them, the biggest hazards are just kind of like there's a wall in front of you, right? Like where there's like a loop that they got to make sure they remember to go through the right way and that kind of thing. So I almost feel like even though we got a lot of repetitiveness with the wrapping, the level wrapping and the screen wrapping, it's like it still felt less repetitive maybe than like just watching somebody cleanly platform with Sonic in some spots. I might be wrong about that if I went and, like, watched a glitchless run after this, but I kind of get that impression weirdly enough. Like, when the times where we were watching a level for a while, sometimes it was really exciting, but other times it was just kind of like, okay, yeah, like, but when's the next rap happening? Right. when are they digging into the ground with, you know, those... It's like they had Knuckles, like, claws from Sonic Adventure 2, like, digging into the ground and then vroom...
I guess. That's another similarity with the Donkey Kong Country 2 one where we were like, I would probably like to watch a glitchless run of that. And it's like, you think that, but then at some point it's just the game. And it's like this kind of spices it up from time to time because the beginning, the first 3 levels, there was stuff happening. We were kind of talking about. Oh, I'm aware of certain cutscene skips and, you know, ways to manipulate the game into not loading certain things. But for the most part, it looked like a normal level. They were using the fire thing to go way faster. It was cool, but it looked like breakneck, glitchless Sonic, and then the just insanity happened. and another thing for like the Donkey Kong Country is those have there are setups in both. Sonic 3 and Donkey Kong Country 2. Some of them in Donkey Kong Country 2 are like weird and long and elaborate. But then
not in a way that like builds anticipation, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas in this one, some of them were like they had to slow down a bit, but you're like, oh, if they're stopping in a Sonic game, what the fuck is about to happen?
Yeah. Like, true.
They just came to a dead stop.
When it happens, when like you trigger the thing you're setting up, in Donkey Kong Country 2, a lot of times it's just a barrel pops out of nowhere and says, hey, you beat the level. You can move on to the next one. In this, all hell breaks loose. The screen just starts like flying, you know, left and right and zigzagging because you'll see them like take a rotation and then just sort of fall backward into the ground and then just, get lower and lower into the ground. And then the Sonic disappears and everything goes crazy. The payoff's a little better.
When the sprites start breaking down is
yeah.
just gold. They're just things floating in the background, which probably should have been ships.
Ships, yeah. clouds, maybe. But the, yeah, they looked metallic.
There's a lot of yeah. in...
It's a good Flaming Lips album.
I think Sonic 1 and 2 also, there's a lot of screen wraps and level wraps. And sometimes the runners, because there aren't those same like shields that they have to worry about, when the like goalpost comes down, they'll like jump through parts of the screen that normally just like give you bonus points mm-hmm. and they'll just be like glitchy ass sprites like in the middle of it. So they'll just do that on like every level just to show some more glitchy sprites.
Yeah. I think one of the funniest moments of the run was we had a huge screen wrap where it was for like 30 seconds, just the camera trying desperately mm-hmm. to catch up with where Sonic was. And suddenly Dr. Robotnik was there in the middle of like the side of the level where he shouldn't be. Like, I don't know what's happening. Apparently I'm supposed to fight here and then died. It's one of those things of I still don't understand how it happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was hilarious to see it happen.
And even crazier, yeah. it was Robotnik from Sonic Spinball. So no one knows what he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite was still the like, the basically T-posing, like the sprite from the halfway through a corkscrew.
Yeah.
Just Sonic was clearly jumping and spin dashing and stuff, but that sprite was never going to update. It was like, mm-hmm. nope, he's going to look like this. That was fun. Yeah. I think that's part of like what you hit the nail on the head, Luigi. It's the payoff, right? Like when the ridiculousness happens, it is a spectacle for everybody as opposed mm-hmm. to just now this thing's done. I felt that way. I don't think we've done Super Mario World, but there's a way in Super Mario World to do a similar thing to the DKC barrels where like you just spawn an orb that like lets you beat the level. It like insta ends the level.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way about that where like it's less of a payoff than just watching this camera lose its shit over this screen.
If I could set the value for the question mark level ending orb, then yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously exactly. I'm going to do that.
So very watchable despite being very glitchy? Is that where we're all coming out on this one?
Yeah, and you know, and it's like understandable if you know a little bit more. Like you don't necessarily have to know why all of this happens and why all the setups work, but explain to someone why like a negative value and what that means and what that means for what that does to a computer. It happens a lot in different speedruns and does a lot of different things, but with like Mario, it'll cause him to go flying across the room, and with Sonic, it'll just put him at the end of the level. But then like there's also screen wraps where you're like, the game thinks you're up here. Like it's understand, like you can, with a tiny amount of knowledge, you can kind of understand what's happening, mm-hmm. but only follow it like by just hanging on to Sonic's, like the back of Sonic, like being pulled along right. for the ride. Like I kind yeah. of saw that left turn. But yeah.
Yeah. Like you could see like, oh, they're bringing the camera down when they're doing like a vertical screen wrap or something. It's like, oh, they're holding down so that the camera lowers down so that where they're going to be able to poke like Sonic's head up past the camera. Oh, and then now everything's flying. And mm-hmm. yeah, I will say I mentioned it during the actual like commentary track. So patreon.com/possiblybad. But if you didn't like catch this there, I know that there are TASs of the Sonic games that use a specific camera mod that will lock the camera to Sonic instead okay. of doing the normal game camera. So I highly recommend watching one of these, like watch it the normal way and then watch it with that mod. And you'll get to see like, oh, this is what the runner is actually doing. They just can't see anything.
Right.
And sometimes it's just they got warped to the end and they're just standing there waiting. Other times it's they're actually still doing some more movement in some spots.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the boss to show up because it's like running into the room. Because
the boss won't spawn until the camera's there.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's a very entertaining run, but I do have to add a caveat. So I feel like if I didn't have any context for the classic Sonic games and that nostalgia, and I watched this run, I don't know if I would find it as entertaining. As someone who has, like, played the classic Sonic games and knows that warping through these levels is insane, it was very entertaining to watch from that perspective and have a bunch of questions about how did this work. But I know that, like, with speedrun marathons, one of my favorite things is watching a game that maybe I haven't seen, but I know is really notorious, and just seeing how it's broken and having the context to at least understand. Mm-hmm. I feel like for people who haven't played a Sonic game before, I don't know if this would be as embracing a run, because they wouldn't have that understanding of the general mechanics. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
A lot of what makes this, mind-blowing is what you expect 2D Sonic to look like from your years of playing
it. I was just going to say, it's an expectation subversion, too, because it's like you remember getting speed shoes and in like Green Hill Zone or whatever and running and just being like, oh, you can go so fast. I bet watching a speedrunner, they are going to go flying through these levels because they know where everything is. And then it's not that, right? Like the run is not that. You can get that in Glitchless if you want, but it's
some
like,
of that.
It's some of that, but it's also sometimes they're just going to burrow themselves into the floor and then they'll just show up at the end. Like it's, I think that is part of what makes it fun, still fun to watch despite being a little bit harder to follow. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're right. Like if you haven't played those games and what those physics feel like, know what it feels like to go fast in a Sonic game and why that is like a core fun aspect about it, you might not appreciate when that is turned up on its head as much.
Yeah, I feel like when you see a glitchy run and you don't understand how it works, and then half the time it's, and suddenly we're seeing the sides of the map. Again, for us, because we've all played the classic Sonic games, it's really cool for different reasons. For someone who has no context, I feel like this wouldn't be nearly as entertaining a run.
Yeah. I don't know. Let us know in the comments, folks, of if you want to post like on Patreon, the comments of the episode, or if your favorite
Spotify.
I was going to say, your favorite podcast platform has comments.
What do you think of this episode?
Like, tell us if you had zero context and you watched this run, let us know what you think. Because I'm fascinated by that. Yeah, I wonder if they would come out with the same experience or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to make a huge blanket sweeping statement, but I feel like maybe if you've never played like any Sonic game before, the 3D ones, watching 3D speedruns might be more approachable.
Maybe.
Because those have a lot of out-of-bounding and weird stuff, but you kind of get to see what's happening when that happens. Some of the more like ways you break the 3D elements of it or the 2D tracks, like visually you can understand maybe a little bit more of what you're seeing if you have no idea.
Right. It looks more like you fly through a wall and then they just happen to know where the end of the level is, as opposed to like this where you don't know how they started, you know, making the screen scroll, but now it is.
Maybe that hedgehog is supposed to burrow into the ground.
Yeah.
I love, too, whenever, like, because everybody, I think, remembers getting, like, squished in those games and the number of times you can have it happen and it's, like, fucking bullshit where you're like, oh, come on, I had plenty of room. Like, that wasn't a thing. And every now and then they would use that to, like, get themselves in the ground and set it up. And it's like, that's how in the world were they not just murdered by the game?
Yeah, there was that one level where there was a long stretch of level, which we had a bunch of acts back-to-back just skipped in really weird ways and like, oh, hey, here they are playing the game again. And and it was them racing to one of those stompy spike blocks to push them through the level and like pop them out somewhere else.
One thing with when I watch a glitch run, I find it so helpful to have like the number two or three speedrunner doing a commentary so they can fully explain what's happening, so I have more of an understanding of all of the intricacies, because there's a lot going on that's beyond my pay grade, and it operates on both levels. You can enjoy it without having that, but this is one where I'd really be like, all right, so what just happened there when we got squished and pushed down? He burrowed. Tails is doggy paddling. And what are we doing here, folks?
Tails and Robotnik are just shrugging in the corner.
Yeah. And a lot of time I hate that, like, if you don't, I hate when people don't set up a trick in commentary and they're like, a thing happens and they go, okay, so what just happened there? That's like one of my least favorites is in speedrun commentary. So what just happened there was, because it's like, we've already forgotten. We've already said,
yeah.
But this is one of the few situations where it's like, well, because the end of every act has that scork countdown, that's going to take a little bit of time where you're just standing still, or you got to wait on the signpost to fall, or you've got a simple boss or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the wow factor is what just happened. Like, you can commentate it that way, and I think it works. Like, you could just be like, okay, so some shit's about to happen. It happens. And then you go like, okay, so here's what happened there now that we have a breather for
and enough of those early on in a run can help set up things for later. So
yeah, you'll be start like, to no, understand. You'll pick it up. Pick
we're
up
gonna
on it
do
yourself.
This again. This something like this will happen later. Don't worry. And by that, yeah, at that point, you'll be able to see it and kind of know a little bit more.
Mm. But then they'll be doing it with gravity shifts, and suddenly you won't understand.
That was ridiculous. Okay, the I don't remember this happening at all within the mechanics of the game, and so seeing them glitch gravity to where it wanted to pull them to the left side of the screen as opposed to the bottom of the screen, which is nifty to blast past the zero point and put you into a negative point and send you backwards, but. Seeing that was enough as it is.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Brad, something that you said that I wholeheartedly agree with is for glitchy runs like this, I much prefer watching them in marathons or with commentary because then you get the context for what is happening. Without that, if you listen to the Patreon track or if you were here and part of it, half of this was me asking, I have questions. So I feel like having that commentary and that extra context probably would have made it more engaging for me. And again, I still really enjoyed it, but that's also because I had the previous context of how Sonic games generally function.
I
feel like without that and without commentary, I would have just been completely lost.
Yeah, and this is the kind of thing where you're watching with an audience too, that's going to be like an energized crowd every time something happens, and that really adds to it.
Yeah, that's the reason why the Sonic Block exists. They're fun to watch.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
I do think if I remember correctly too, this might have been part of taskvideos.org as well. Like this might have been a task thing, or it might have just been a completely separate page for like Sonic speedrunning. But I think they have like a glossary somewhere of like, here's a bunch of the tricks that are used in these runs to like make these things happen. Because I just remember back when I did commentary for this for Speedrunning Underground or something, I remember finding some resource that like I was able to dive in on. And I've since forgotten a lot of that, but I know it's out there, I think you can search and find it out there. Maybe find it linked on the speedrun.com page that'll be in the description. So might be linked over there.
Yeah, depending on how, you know, active a community is, the more of those tools are made. And so I would believe that the Sonic community would have made a database of all of that over, you know, the last 20 years.
Yeah. Well, cool. I'm glad to see that we had one that was a lot more glitchy, a lot jankier in some ways that we all came out, you know, mostly pretty positive about. I think a lot of times we find those harder to be harder to watch without like a lot of really big knowledge coming
That's
behind
a
them.
Prep.
This kind of goes in with Ratchet and Clank 3 as like maybe the real couple exceptions to the rule where we ended up coming out liking those a lot. Something about the thirds in trilogies. I don't know.
We'll do the Knuckles at some point.
Yeah, we'll have to watch with Knuckles. if you enjoyed this, then let us know or you know, tell a friend about the podcast. We could really use it. We'd really appreciate it. And if you absolutely love it and you want to help support us, please go to patreon.com/possiblybad. We actually have a free trial up as well. If you want to just check out what we've got to offer, and hey, if you don't end up wanting to remain subscribed, that's totally cool. You could just binge listen to all of our back commentaries. That's fine by us. Just give it a shot. patreon.com/possiblybad. We'll see you all next time with something else. And until then,
Gotta go fast.
Go fast and eat ass. Remember? That was the
catchphrase.
Yeah. Go fast, oh, no. Go fast and eat ass. Hell yeah. Our new slogan.
What do we always say?
Let's start selling t-shirts. I want it on a t-shirt.
See ya.
All right. Can that be our first shirt?
I've never seen OBS do some shit. I've never seen it do that. So. Mm-hmm.